Let me ask you a question. Why did the chicken cross the road? Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, there you go. There's a chicken with some shoes on. And I guess you could have several answers to this question. More common ones are, well, the most common one, I guess, with this question is to get to the other side. Then there's to visit the flatmate. I think the flatmate got run over. Then because that's where he lived. And then this one as well, because that's where the buried treasure was. So actually put a cross on the road, X marks the spot. There's loads of different answers that you could have to that question. And of course, it's one of those questions that kind of means that there could be lots of different reasons and so on. And the story I want to share with you today is a story from the Bible that there's a question attached to it for me. And it's this: why didn't Moses enter the promised land? Now, some of you will be sitting there and you'll be thinking, well, I know the answer to that. That's obvious. And you'll have an answer in your mind straight away. And maybe it's the one that that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. Others of you will be thinking about it and wondering, I'm trying to remember the story and trying to remember what the reasons were, perhaps. Others may think they know it, but are now having a little second guess with themselves because they're not sure if they're going to be saying this, thinking the same thing, and if there's a different answer, well, we'll find out in a bit. But first of all, let's read the appropriate passage in the Bible where Moses finds out he's not going to enter the promised land. It's in Numbers chapter 20, and Dave Sperling's going to read this for us.
Right, the first 13 verses of Numbers chapter 20. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There, Miriam died and was buried. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no corn or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honour me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarrelled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them.
So, as a child, I never really understood this story. What did Moses do wrong? Moses was a good man trying to do his best. And it was the Israelites who were quarrelling with each other. Moses wasn't quarrelling with him. And in the end, the water still flowed out the rock, which was what God had wanted. And God said that, it says in the Bible that God was proved holy by through it all anyway. So what was so wrong? And don't you think that Moses' anger was understandable? Because if you think about it, the Israelites had continually let God down. For 40 years, they continued to grumble. They didn't get into the land in the first place 40 years ago because of the sins that they were committing and so on, and because they didn't believe that they could take the land in the first place, their unfaithfulness, not believing the spies when they came and said it was okay to go into the land, and they doubted God, and he said they would have to wander for 40 years. So Moses, who was already getting quite old, had to wander in the desert for another 40 years because of these unbelievers. And then Moses, who led them all out of Egypt as well, and was taking them to this promised land, he and his sister Miriam were looking forward to going in, and now Miriam's just died. This is Moses' sister, who'd been longing to get into the land, and she dies as well, right at the beginning of this chapter. No wonder Moses is a bit cross about all of this. And to make matters worse, they're all criticizing him. Everyone's moaning at him all the time. He's taking all the flak for it. So no wonder he gets a little bit cross. It's understandable, perhaps. And the water still comes and God still gets the glory. So what's the problem? Why does God then say, no, you can't now go into the promised land after all this time? And, you know, I searched Bibles. I searched children's Bibles for this. And then later on, I searched commentaries. And what I found was in children's Bibles, when I was a child, I was trying to find out the answer. And then when I was older, I was looking in commentaries. And everyone seemed to say different things about it. Why didn't Moses get to enter the promised land? People had lots of different reasons, a bit like why did the chicken cross the road? So here's some of the reasons that are given by people. First of all, it was Moses didn't get to go because he was the leader of the people, and the people had been unfaithful. The Israelites had been unfaithful. Let's have a look at some of the verses that lead to that conclusion. Deuteronomy, there's three in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 1:37. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites. Also, and said, you shall not enter it either. So because of the Israelites, the Lord became angry with Moses. Let's look at the next one. Deuteronomy 3:26, but because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. It says Moses, before this verse starts, it says Moses was pleading with the Lord to go in. He said, please let me in. Please let me see it. I've been longing to see this land for so long. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and he wouldn't listen to me. That's enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. You're not going to go in. Basically, you're going to die here and the people are going to go in. God obviously feels strongly about this, and Moses is really upset about it. Let's look at the next one, Deuteronomy chapter 4, the next chapter. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. It's seeming pretty clear from Deuteronomy, isn't it, that it was because of the unfaithful people, unfaithful Israel. Let's look at one more in the Psalms. Psalm 106. By the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. Okay, so that's the answer to the question then, isn't it? He was the leader of an unfaithful Israel, an unfaithful people, and that's why Moses didn't get to answer it. But that's only one answer. See, the next answer is this. He lost his temper and he got angry. Now that's the temper, the anger bit I was talking about before. So let's look at a couple of verses for this. First of all, in the passage we read, Numbers 20, verse 10, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Let's look at Psalm 106, the psalm we just looked at before, because it carries on after the first bit. by the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them, for they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. Okay, so now it sounds like it's trouble came to Moses because they angered him. So it was their fault they angered him, but then Moses ushered rash words. He said rebel to them and so on and got cross with them. And that's why he didn't get to enter it, because he lost his temper. So he's provoked by them, but it's because he lost his temper. Is that their fault or is that his fault? Perhaps both seems to be indicated. He didn't really show any humility and he wasn't really showing God's love, because in this, God didn't say anything about getting angry, did he? God was trying to provide for them and show the people that he was still faithful. He was trying to provide in a loving way for the people water, because they were desperate for it. And it was meant to be something nice that God was doing for them and showing his provision. And Moses gets cross about it with the people, which wasn't what God had said to do. So that brings us on to the next thing. Well, the Israelites are all quarreling. That explains Moses' anger, but he's still responsible and accountable for his own actions. And Moses lacks trust and faith in God. And I think this is another big reason that comes out. In Numbers 20, verse 12, bit we read, Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you'll not bring this community into the land I give them. And again, so God says to Moses, go up on the mountain. You can see the land that you're going to go into, but you're going to die there. You and Aaron are going to die there. You're not going to actually go in. We read about this in Deuteronomy 32. The next verse, you can put that up, Dan. Thank you. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you'll see the land only from a distance. You'll not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. So it seems to be his lack of trust and faith. But I still wondered how that outworks itself. How did Moses show a lack of trust and faith? Well, I guess to understand it best, it's better to kind of act it out a little bit. So I'm going to try and act it out for you now to show what I kind of think was probably happening here. So just move my chair out of the way. So let's move the screen back a bit. There we go. Hopefully you can all see me still. So Moses took a staff. I haven't really got a staff, so I'm using a mop, but it'll do as my staff. Okay, Moses took the staff. Now, the staff that he took was the same one that he'd used to part the Red Sea, to part the Nile when he did that. And so Moses took the staff. He gathered the assembly together. So they all the people together, which is what God had told him to do. So he's done everything right so far, but then he angrily tells them off, listen, you rebels, and he bangs the rock on the side twice like this. Must we bring water out of this rock for you? So you can imagine the scene. God's told him. What's God told him? God's told Moses that he needs to go to the rock, he needs to take the rod, he needs to gather the people, and then when he's got them all there, he's to speak to the rock, and he's to say to it for water to come out of it. Rock, in the name of God, pour out your water. And the water's meant to come out like that. But Moses does it like this. Gets angry. And bashes it. Now, what's the advantage to him in doing that? I think when you think about it, it's much easier to do what Moses did, because if nothing happens, you don't lose faith, do you? And if something happens, it looks like you're great. So look at this. He goes along. Now, if I say in front of all of you to this cupboard here, cupboard, pour forth water and nothing happens, I'm going to look a bit of an idiot. If water does come out, you're going to think, Phil's amazing. If I do this, though, and say, you lot, you just drive me crazy. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to show how good I am by, show how much in tune with God I am by banging this wardrobe and water coming out of it like that? Now, I haven't actually said the water's going to come out. All I've done is bang the wardrobe in anger and frustration. And I guess it's probably something along those kind of lines where Moses could save face if it doesn't happen. And if something happens, he's proved great. But actually, he's not showing any faith or trust in God at all. He's doubting whether if he just says it, the water will come out. And if it does happen, then, well, great. And people think he's good. The Israelites, 40 years early, hadn't entered the land because of a lack of trust and faith. And now Moses shows a lack of faith, and it leads to the same fate. He's not going to go into the land either. So he's disobeyed and dishonored God by doing what he did. Let's just have a look at a couple of verses to do with that as well. Numbers 20, 24 says this: he will not enter the land I give the Israelites because both of you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. They didn't do it as God said. And the next verse: for when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honour me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. And finally, in our passage, it says, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock of Moses and said to them, listen, you nobles, must we bring you water out of this rock? Now, who was going to get the glory if the water came out when he said it that way? He was, and Aaron was. The we is him and Aaron, because that's who they were moaning at. And so maybe he just thought his way was better. Maybe he thought, I've done this before, so I don't need God. But the reasons given, yes, he was the leader of unfaithful Israel. He lost his temper and got angry. But at the end of the day, he was accountable. He lacked trust and faith in God in the way that he acted, and he directly disobeyed what God was saying. Now, I want to pick up on that again in a minute, because that's really important. Why did it matter, particularly the way he did it? Is it just a matter of the trust and faith? I actually think it's a bit more than that, and I want to bring something out of that in a little bit. But maybe he thought that, well, I've done this before, because there's another instance like this in the Bible. Maybe you can record it, not in Numbers, but in Exodus. And we're going to read it now. It's a very similar story, and Beth Crozier is going to read this for us.
Okay. Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. Water from the rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Zin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink, so they quarrelled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not?
Thank you, Beth. Now, some people think that these two incidents are the same incident, that they both happened, one's in Exodus, one's in Numbers, but they think it's the same story, essentially, just being retold by different sources. At least some of the modern scholars have tried to say that. More of the traditional view for a long time was that they were two separate stories, and then just recently some folk have started to say maybe it's the same one. And I thought it was perhaps the same story for a while, just told a little differently, and that maybe Numbers 20 was a little bit of an explanation for what exactly had happened in Exodus 17. I'd thought that for a while as an adult, that that was the case. But more recently, I'd realised that actually, I don't think that is the case. I think they are separate stories. And doing a little bit more looking into it, this is why I've still come to that conclusion and would hold a traditional view on this. First of all, they both happen at different times. So here's a little equation for you. What this means is Exodus happens from the Exodus. The book of Exodus is about the time leading up to the Exodus, from Moses being born and so on, up to when he leads the people out of Egypt, and then the first year that they are in the wanderings. That's in the desert. That's what Exodus, the book of Exodus, covers. The book of Numbers picks up a month later in the second year, at the start of the second year, when they're about to go through during that time, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It's the stories from the second year in when they've escaped Egypt for the next 40 years while they wander. That's where the book of Numbers goes. And Deuteronomy is the final year. Deuteronomy covers the final year before they enter the promised land, and the book of Joshua follows with him going in. So that's a little bit of understanding. But bear in mind, the Exodus story is in the first year, and the book of Numbers is the next 40 years. And this story that we've read in Numbers is at the end of that time, the final year of the 40 years. Then historically, time-wise, they're totally different times. So let's look at another bit of evidence. Different location. The first story happens in the wilderness of Sin. It talks about Rephidim and Horeb in there. And the second story in Numbers is the wilderness of Zin. It talks about it being in Kadesh, and in particular, Meribah Kadesh. So Meribah is mentioned in both, but it's Meribah Kadesh that's referred to. It says just Kadesh in Numbers, but it, other places in the Bible we read that it took place in Meribah Kadesh to distinguish it from the other one. A third reason. The details are different. In one, it's strike the rock, in the other, it's speak to the rock. Now, does that matter? Well, I'd like to propose in this morning that, yes, I think it does. I think it's very significant, and I'm going to bring that out in a little minute, in a little bit. And finally, the different purpose. It's because I think there's two different things happening here. The first one is a physical happening where he was instructed to strike the rock. And the second one is a spiritual happening where he's instructed to speak to the rock, that something else was happening in that story. So these are two separate events and two separate stories. And I believe God had a purpose, a different purpose in both cases. And I actually think Moses messed up the second one, which is why he didn't go into the promised land. So let me... Before I just explain and finish off with just explaining why I think that, let me give you another example of where two similar stories can be, the same thing can happen pretty much, but it can have a totally different purpose. Let's look at the example of feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000. So here we've got this story in the New Testament, in the Gospels. But again, these two stories, some have said, well, maybe it's the same story told just differently, but here's the evidence using the same criteria. It's a different time frame. So both stories we can read about, the feeding of 5,000 and the feeding of 4,000. The feeding of 5,000 is in Matthew 14 and 4,000 is in Matthew 15. Would the same gospel writer include both stories a chapter apart if it was the same story? No, of course not. And it's in Mark 6 and Mark 8 as well, 5,000 and 4,000. So they're both at different times. Secondly, different locations. The first one takes place in Bethsaida, which is a Jewish area, and the second one takes place in the Decapolis, which is a Gentile area. Was that significant? Yes, because we move on to the different details. In the first one, there's five loaves that are given out. Can we put that up, Dan? There we go. Five loaves, and they collect up 12 baskets. And in the feeding of the 4,000, it's seven loaves and seven baskets. So what is the significance? Well, again, I believe there's a different purpose in mind, that this was saying something. It's not just about feeding people who were hungry, which we know that Jesus did. He's the bread of life. But the five loaves represent the five books of the Jewish law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the 12 baskets, the 12 tribes of Israel, who Jesus had come to feed. And that story was speaking to the Jewish nation. And then the second one, the 4,000, there were seven loaves. And the number seven is a figure that was given for completeness. It completed things. It was a number that was full, if you like. So all things were completed. And the seven baskets, the 7 days of creation, possibly, don't know for sure, but the 7 days of creation, because God made mankind that then filled the whole world. So this was for all mankind, not just for the Jews, not just for the 12 tribes of Israel, but all mankind. That took place in the Gentile region. Maybe there was a little bit more to these stories being repeated than just God feeding the hungry again. But back to our story, Exodus 17 and Numbers 20. What purpose could there be in doing the story in this way, one striking the rock and one speaking to the rock? Well, here we go. This is my conclusion now coming up, okay? Why I think this story is a great story. So we're going to read something from the New Testament to reveal this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 4. Will just help us understanding this a bit. So 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4, and actually you could read the whole passage to verse 13, but let's read this bit. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. This is talking about the Israelites when Moses parted the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. Let's go back to our story. The rock was Christ. The rock was first struck for our transgressions. Can we put that up, Dan, please? The rock was first struck for our transgressions. And what happened when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross? He was dying. He was struck. It talks about him being struck in the Bible and him laying his life down for us on the cross. And a spear was put in his side and water and blood flowed out from his side. And in doing that, that was life-giving water. And then what do we need to do to gain salvation? We need to speak. You can put it up now, Dan. Thank you. We need to speak in faith to Jesus, and we receive the living waters that flow from him. So in the first Moses story, Moses is told to strike the rock, and water will flow from him. His death gave us life. But we don't receive the fullness of that life until we speak in faith to the rock that is Christ, until we confess our sin, and until we ask him to come into our life. And then we drink from, as they did, the Israelites, drink from the river of life. The first story, it talks about it happening in Meribah, which was, Meribah means quarreling. And the second story, it talks about it happening at Meribah Kadesh, which is quarreling. But in the midst of that quarreling, God was proved holy because of the life-giving water that he gave. That's where the fullness, the completeness, if you like, of God is, the salvation power that he gives became clear. And so the spiritual rock is Christ. It adds whole new meaning to what happened. Now do we see why, when Moses, how Moses let God down. The answer to the question, why didn't Moses enter the promised land? He let God down big time because the way that he responded to be angry and try and strike the rock again was wrong in so many ways, not just the fact that Christ died once for all sin and all mankind, and it only needed to be once. It didn't need to happen again. No other price can match it or pay for it. Christ died once, and again, the New Testament repeats that phrase, says how he died once for the transgression of our sins. And it's then through faith in him and confessing as him and speaking to him and asking him to come into our life and to give us that life-giving water that we are saved. Moses let God down by striking it again and in anger and frustration and the lack of faith. He didn't show faith in the rock. He didn't obey God and do that. He let God down and he didn't speak to the rock. So what happened? He didn't get to enter the promised land. Doesn't the Bible teach that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved? And all who don't call on the name of the Lord and trust in their own way instead will never enter the promised land of heaven. In the end, God's purposes were still fulfilled in a way because it demonstrated for us all what God's plan was and what the consequences of not putting faith in him are. I find that quite amazing when I consider it and reflect on it again, and brings whole new perspective to the question, why did Moses enter the promised land? If there's anyone here, and there may not be today, but if there's anyone here that hasn't put their faith in Jesus, then you need to do that. Because Jesus was struck and died for your sins, and you need to call upon his name and speak to him in faith as Moses should have done with the rock. And he will give you that life-giving water. And you can do that even today after this service now. Know the life-giving water that Jesus gives and have that hope and assurance of eternal life in the promised land with him. But even for those who've already done that, Moses, the story of Moses serves as a challenge and a warning to us, as it says in Corinthians, in terms of our lack of faith and disobedience to God, we're challenged because we lose out when we show a lack of faith and trust and try and do things our way instead of his way. God will still accomplish things, amazing things, but he'll use other people often instead of us, and we lose out on that. So let's not miss out on what God wants to do in and through our lives. And let's not miss out on what he wants to do in and through us as a church in Chelmsford and beyond. Let's make sure that we're listening to him, that we're responding in faith to him and being obedient to his word. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these stories in the Bible that are not just stories, but are life to those who hear and receive them. Can inspire and challenge, equip and encourage us today. Lord, may we respond to your word this morning in whatever way we need to do. And may it help us to walk faithfully with you all the days of our life. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, Jesus. We look forward one day to being with you in the land that you've promised us of heaven. Amen.